All is well. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. In olden times, not too old, but in olden times, the town crier would go around from lamplight to lamplight after he lit them, you know, oftentimes. And he'd say, all is well. He'd say, time of day, or, you know, 9 o'clock and all is well. And the reason he was doing this was because he was afraid of his shadow. And he'd be walking around the town in the darkness, and he'd be going from lamppost to lamppost, all is well, you know. He wanted everybody to know that he was out there and that all is well, and that people were used to hearing him shout that. And if some evening he didn't shout it, people would wonder what happened and send somebody out to find out what was going on, where he was, where was the missing town crier. And fortunately, they had very little problem in that, because he was always there, always available, always calling out, all is well. Now, we are like this town crier. We are shouting out, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. And we're shouting out this and shouting out that, and we're getting into this and getting into that idea. And what we're doing is we're afraid. We have fear inside of us, and we want the world to know, hey, I'm whole and perfect. And as long as we go around doing that, we're not going to experience wholeness. And the reason we're not going to experience wholeness is because we don't believe it. And believe it is a difficult word, but we're not consistent in it. We're not harmonious with it. How can you be harmonious when you go around saying all is well and I'm whole and perfect and every organ, action, function, my body is whole and perfect, out loud and shouting it so that people can hear it? If you do it while you're out on your meditation path and you're beyond the ears of others, that's fine, just have a ball. But Jesus said about the priests, the Pharisees and so forth, and the Sadducees and the publicans and the sinners and all these other great people, how many of them would go out on the street corner and they would pray, Allah Kitam, you know, and they'd, I am a perfect man and I am turning my attention toward God. I am listening to God, you know, and stuff like that. And the people would say, oh, what a holy man. And Jesus called them whited sepulchers, because they clean the outside and they let the world know on the outside, but on the inside they're still pretty bad. They're still pretty dirty. It's like a cup that hadn't been washed on the inside, but it's on the outside. And of course, you know, in those days this was quite common and quite understandable. And many beautiful cups were had by people. But if you recall from your ancient lore of your childhood, way back then, your parents always liked to keep the coffee pot with the stain in it of the coffee, because it made a better pot of coffee that way. They never scrubbed the coffee pot. They never took all the coffee out of the coffee pot. If the coffee had residue built up in there, oh man, that made great coffee. And then it moved on through careless housekeeping that they didn't wash the cups on the inside. They may have rinsed them out, but they didn't scrub them out so that it could build up a wall, so to speak, a crust of coffee residue. And that coffee residue was supposed to make the coffee all the more delicious and all the more powerful. And I think that our Arab peoples were even more that way, because the Arab people love strong coffee. And just a little tiny cup of it is enough to knock your shoes off. I mean, when you drink their coffee, you got to be prepared. And it's, well, but you see, we hear that story of washing the inside of the container, apparently Jesus wasn't a very good Arab or a very good person from that area, because he felt you should wash the inside of the cup. He said you should wash the inside of a vessel. And he spoke about wine vessels, remember? Wineskin? You don't take an old wineskin to put new wine in. Now, why is that, quickly? Anyone know?
Of the taste.
No,
smell,
because the old wineskin has expanded to all that it can expand. And you put new wine in an old wineskin and it can't expand anymore. It bursts the skin. It has nothing to do with the taste. It may have something to do with the taste, but that's not the point. It's because the skin cannot expand anymore, which the new wine demands as it's fermenting and as it is creating itself in there, you see? So there's a lot of these old historical statements that come down, especially when we read the Bible, because there's many things that were current in those days that are not current today, because how many of you have a wineskin around the house where you keep your wine, and how many of you have an old wineskin or a new wineskin? Well, all is well. What does that mean? What does that mean to us today? All is well. I talked to a lady on the phone, and she was telling me about her need for things to be all well. And I told her, I said, see that all is in divine order. When everything is in divine order, then all is well, and there's no problems. And she says, but the appearances. I said, yeah, that's right, the appearances. The appearances are tough. The appearances give you the excuse me. The appearances give you the feeling that things are just not too cool. But how are they? That's okay. How are they? How are things? Are they just not too cool? That thing is still running. Well, yeah, that's cool. We have a slight pause in there where I turned off my recorder because I coughed, and I didn't turn off the encoder. So the encoder was merrily rolling on, just receiving no images from me at all. Well, things are like that. If you have borne with me to carry yourself through that, then you know that all is well. Now, all is well, and all is beautiful. And it's up to us to start using our head. As I talked to this lady, she was very concerned about her problems that her family is facing. And I said to her, there's only one thing. You see it done. You see it perfect. And you see him clear of all charges. Clear of all charges. Not that there's a charge on the books against him, not that there will be a charge anytime in the future about him, but he's clear of all charges. And she was saying that he wants to be a lawyer, and it wouldn't be good to have this on his record, because he lives so long and did so well that now this could blemish his record as being a lawyer. So I told her, he's clear of all charges. Because as you describe it, and as the case was, he was not doing anything himself. It was somebody else in his car who was doing something wrong. And but he was the driver of the car. And as I say to all of you, When you're the driver of the car, you're the pilot in control. And if the car crashes, it's your fault, no matter whether somebody else distracted your attention or whether somebody else told you to do something and you did it and it made a crash. It's up to you. It's up to you. We are always the pilot in command. Now, the boy was the pilot in command. And he didn't realize how much in command he had to be. And this takes us to this here other point. All is well. We are known by the people we associate with. We are known by the people we associate with. You understand that? We're known by the people we associate with. This boy was associating with some other boys who had bad habits, and he got the blame because it was his car. And so you just have to be very careful who you associate with. How many of you have ever read the Bible? Just raise your hands and stomp and scream and holler and stomp.
Hi.
Okay, now. They were always doing this to Jesus. They were saying Jesus was sleeping with all his disciples, which from one reference is not nice. Then there was Jesus was sleeping with all the women, with one reference, that's not nice. And Jesus was associating with publicans and sinners because he had dinner with them one night. Here he was over there giving a couple of lectures on positive thinking, you know, and he was getting blamed for being in their presence. Now here he is, the Messiah, the master teacher, the super guy of all time, and he gets blamed for things like that. That'd be like saying the Pope shouldn't go and talk to a bank robber because the Pope was then a bank robber, you know. I mean, it's idiotic, just stupid. And this happens to a lot of other people too. They are helping other people. Today, a psychiatrist generally will not have a private interview with a woman in his office because the woman could holler all sorts of nonsense if she wanted to. If you wanted to make money on them. And people would throw themselves in front of a car and be hurt and then sue the driver for insurance. And it wasn't the driver's fault. But this this type of suit is very tough. And can you imagine in Jesus' day, you know, fortunately for him, he had his entourage with him almost all the time. And wherever he went, his entourage was there, so no one could think any bad thoughts because everything was good. Well, all is well means what kind of people are you associating with? What kind of people are you having in your life? What kind of people do you have? Now, we're going to take this a step further right now and change all of that. Person comes up to you and says, I just robbed a bank. Well, he's a bank robber, right? He said it. And then you say, I do not believe that. Here you are facing the definite statement of an individual saying he's a bank robber. And so you say to yourself, no, you're not. I do not know bank robbers. I do not have bank robbers in my world. I do not know anybody ever who's ever robbed a bank, who's ever done a nasty thing like that. You understand? And then it comes out later, the guy didn't rob the bank. He's merely trying to get a little bit of notoriety. Many people do this. The police department is filled with people who come down after every terrible incident, announcing that they had done the incident, you know. They want to get publicity, they want to get whatever, you know, and it's sort of sick publicity, but they want it. Now, I'm saying this to you, which I shouldn't be saying, merely because I want you to see the illogicalness of the logic. Mm-hmm. I mean, you say to yourself, the guy said he did it, you know. Well, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything. If in your consciousness, You are pure and whole and perfect, and you would not have such a person in your world, then it's not so. Now, could you have a person who had done it in the past, who had changed their attitude, who was now a new person? Yes, you could do that. But you could not have a currently out of focus bank robber in your world, you know. If that's your choice. If that's your choice.
Yeah.
And what did Jesus say about the woman who's washing his feet with oil? And his treasurer said, hey, that's good money going down the drain there, washing your feet with oil, you know. And Jesus said, hey, she's got the message. I'm with you only for a short time. And she respects that. And she realizes who I am. You all go and sin no more. And then perhaps you will be as good as she is. You know, that's a tough slap in the face for a lot of people who are doing a lot of dumb things. But this is how life is. If Jesus could say those things, that's pretty powerful. We can say those things too and have it be pretty powerful in our life. We look at everyone. And I do not create bank robbers in my world, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I do not create people who are unkind and who are unjust and who are in any way non-beneficial to themselves or society. I don't create that in my world. And if seemingly I do, if seemingly I am, it's all right here in my mind. And I best clean it up and get myself back in order again. But this is what it means to be all as well. When you place the cause in motion inside yourself quietly, again, we'll go to Jesus. He's a good person to blame for all this stuff. Do not stand on the street corners and tout the fact that you're a good person. Do not run around, I'm home perfect, I'm home perfect, I'm home perfect, to everybody around, unless, like when I was doing it for Mark in the hospital. That was a very different situation. I didn't want anyone to think of him any different than home perfect. And he was. If you go around touting that, then you are trying to get someone to do something about it. It's like saying, God, give me $100. I need to go buy something, you know. God, give me $100, you know. And you say it out loud so everybody in the world can do it. Then some hapless person comes along, gives you $100. Thank you, God. You know, well, it's not thank you, God. You're beholden to that person that gave you the $100. You're beholden to that person to use that $100 how you say you're going to use it. If God gives you $100, so to speak, if the divine in you brings that into your focus, there's no limitation as to how you use it. You can use it any way you want. There's a minister of a big church operation up in Los Angeles, and one of his parishioners gave him a couple $1 million and told him that it was supposed to be used in a certain way. And he said, I can't do that. He said, I'll use it however I see fit to use it for the church. You know? And so then they sued him because, you know, he already had the money. They sued him and said he can't do that. And the court says, a gift with strings is not a gift, and therefore it's not a proper donation, so you must pay taxes on it. And it's true. But if it's a gift, anything given to the church has to be a gift,
mm-hmm.
You know. And for it to be tax exempt, it has to be a free will offering, free love offering. You heard that?
Yeah.
It's given with no restraint, with no conditions about it, with no feeling that, hey, you pray for me now. I'll give you some money, you know? No way. Like I tell you, I don't want to know what people send in for a practitioner. I don't want to know if somebody calls for a practitioner and then they send $35, I don't want to hear it. They send $100, $1,000. I don't want to hear it. Because mentally, I could possibly have a thought of mine. Oh boy, this is a good giver. I better really get on the ball for her. And this one over here, I mean, 10 cents, you know, and she wanted to borrow it for a stamp. Yes, you know, forgetting there's 30 cents. But anyhow, you see, this is how it goes. We don't do that. We say all is well. We let the divine in us reveal it, and miracles happen for us. I think we've done this up pretty well for today. I love you, I love you, I love you.